You're listening to Gillespie, Excellence in Internet Radio, only on FTRradio.com.
And welcome to Gillespie here on this Tuesday night on FTR Radio, Excellence in Internet Radio. With me are my wonderful co-hosts, Mark Warner. Mark!
Yeah. You feel it, baby?
It's that time again. The time where we bring the best from the Midwest and Rhino goodness. He's cute. He's cuddly. He won't take a position to save his life. It's Mark Warner!
We came here at 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 to see them, and all they do is push you farther and farther away. And then they don't even let you see them.
How you doing?
Moving on.
And, of course, with me is the lovely Smoozy Q, Susie Moore. Susie, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for asking.
I miss Susie.
Here I am. I'm right here.
You know, honestly, I think we have received more listeners. We're probably getting more people in the chat room. I mean, you know, since we've added Susie, the show has gotten exponentially better.
Oh, well, thanks.
I mean, seriously, look at us, you Josh, really?
Hey, you know what? All you have to do is call in for 5 minutes each week. That's all you do. You're not even here for the interviews, all right? So I don't want to hear any complaining from you. You know, you set them all up. Don't get me wrong.
I was going to say, that's a little bit of that work there.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not saying you don't do anything. I am not calling you, let's say, lazy.
Yeah, don't start with me tonight, Gillespie. I have no filter tonight, you might, FYI.
You might strike a nerve there, Josh.
No filter whatsoever.
Oh.
So we never have a filter, so there you go.
Filterless Warner.
You, Gillespie. You.
Hey!
There he is, Filterless Warner.
Man, you're going to have to make me edit, like, you know, and censor.
Go ahead and just beep that, okay? And beep this. There. I warned you that time.
You did. I thank you. I thank you very much. Golly. Oh, Susie, are you doing any better than Mark?
I am. I'm not feeling the urge to drop a bunch of F-bombs on you.
Well, thank you.
I'm happy to be here. I'm really excited about the show we've got going on this week. I think there's a lot of several good guests, and I'm excited about what they had to say.
Yeah, well, we have, because, well, thankfully, Susie kind of did a wonderful segue into this.
Getting better.
Our guest tonight is Sean Hackbarth from FreeEnterprise.com. Since Sean is a native of Wisconsin, we will forgive him for that. But since he is a native from Wisconsin, and since our vice presidential candidate is Paul Ryan from Wisconsin,
woohoo!
Why not have Sean on? So Sean is going to be on to talk about Paul Ryan. We will also quiz him about the Green Bay Packers, and of course, the Holy Triumvirate, Rush the Band. And then we also talk with State Policy Director for AFP Ohio, Seth Morgan, and as well as the executive director for AFP in Missouri, Susie's home state.
Yes.
We talk with Patrick Werner, not to be confused with Mark Warner.
Yes.
Patrick is much much happier, much
though.
More jovial person than Mark Warner.
Absolutely.
Just don't piss me off, Gillespie, and we're going to be fine.
Hey, Mark, tell us real quick, because I know that you are, in fact, not lazy. Your weekends, you pretty much pack your weekends full by doing a lot of work for the Pence campaign. Can you kind of give us an update on what you're seeing, what you're hearing out on the campaign trail as you do a lot of work for Congressman Pence?
Every parade that we've done has been 100-plus people.
That's incredible.
The rallies that we've held last Saturday, we opened up our 10th Victory Center in Hamilton County. I think there was probably close to 100 people there. The room was packed, and people are excited about the Mike Pence governor. Then we went to an RV place in eastern Indiana, Tom Raper RV in Richmond, and held a rally there with probably the next 6 congressional district congressmen. We held a rally there just to kind of introduce Mike and Karen to the crowd, talk about the RV industry. As you all know, Barack Obama came back here in 2008, went up to Elkhart, said, I'm going to and just the RV industry has hurt in this state. And the RV industry in this state is huge.
It is.
It's a huge economic issue in this state.
Wrap it up, Sparky.
Anyway, people are fired up. The John Gregg campaign is not very active. They send out emails once or twice a week just trashing Mike and her.
They're ridiculous. They're over the top.
So it's been great. The response is great. People are fired up about this, and we're ready to go.
Well, talking about great responses and fired up people, people are fired up about Paul Ryan. 10,000 people in Wisconsin for the Romney-Ryan rally. Well, we're going to talk with Sean Hackbarth next about Paul Ryan. So everybody strap yourselves in. It's going to be an excellent night here on Gillespie. We'll be right back with Sean Hackbarth. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. We'll be right back.
Fellow conservatives, when you're drinking your overpriced coffee or a Moco Choco, whatever in the wacko latte at Starbucks, you ever feel like you're the only conservative in there? That's because you probably are. But don't feel bad, as you can annoy the bejesus out of those pesky Moonbat, New York Times, and Daily Coast reading liberals by reading HoosierAccess.com. At HoosierAccess.com, you can read the latest thought and opinion from conservatives in the crossroads of America. Annoy the Moonbats. At HoosierAccess.com to your favorites today.
And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. As always, Susie Moore is with me. How you doing, Susie?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic. And our guest this segment is the none other than the Twitter famous. He's supposed to be on the Twitter ticket this year with Duchess Rebecca. He is from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. We know him from freeenterprise.com. It is Sean Hackbarth. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Did I drop everything on there that I was supposed to? Twitter freeenterprise.com?
Yep.
What happened with the Twitter ticket?
Might have forgotten Wisconsin.
Oh, well, we'll get to that. what's up with the Twitter ticket? I haven't seen any hubbub about that lately. Is the new gig kind of taking some time out of the campaigning?
Well, I guess you didn't follow the Twitter ticket campaign that closely.
I didn't.
It was pretty much decided and figured we all realized that Mitt Romney was going to win. It transformed into get Duchess Rebecca on the VP ticket.
Oh, well, see, I thought you guys were going to run as a third party.
No.
Because you're a rhino, I know. I mean, you know, you...
My goal wasn't even that lofty. I just wanted to get Duchess Rebecca on the short list.
Oh, okay.
but could you actually imagine Duchess Rebecca in a debate with Joe Biden?
She wins hands down.
Well, yeah.
Hands down.
And she'd be drunk.
I'd pay good money for
too.
It.
Yeah. Well, that leads us to basically the main reason we have you on tonight. You are a native cheesehead.
I am from the greatest state in the union, Wisconsin.
Well, I don't know about the greatest, but you're certainly up there. My dad's from Wisconsin. He was born there up in Arborvitae. Do you know where that is?
Oh, yeah, that's way up north, as we like to call it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's where my dad was born. Just a little Gillespie trivia for you. Anyway, so Wisconsin, Paul Ryan, Sean Hackbarth. What do you think?
I was surprised. I mean, I heard Paul Ryan's name was talked around a little bit, but a lot of people in D.C. were sort of kind of poo-pooing it and saying, yeah, probably not going to happen. They just, Romney would pick Rod Portman or somebody, or Tim Pawlenty. But when it happened, when I found out late Friday night, I'm going, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Wisconsin's amazing. Everybody's going to jump on the bandwagon. So I didn't blame him. I'm just really happy. He's a really smart guy. He knows what he's talking about more than probably anybody in Congress, Democrat, Republican alike, mm-hmm. when it comes to the budget, when it comes to just knowing what needs to be done to fix all the problems that we got, we have this way, what we got facing us. I mean, he's also very, he can talk well. He understands media. I think we've all seen all various, he's put out various web videos and such talking about his budget. As we've seen in the rollout, he speaks very well, speaks highly. And he also, at least what the ladies tell me, he's nice to look at.
Yes. Susie, you're our resident lady on the show. What do you think of Paul Ryan?
And Gillespie is our resident girly man.
Oh, wait a minute. No, no. Hey, just because Warner isn't in this interview doesn't mean he can't be immune from being made fun of. He is our dainty rhino. Okay.
That's true. No, Paul Ryan is not hard on the eyes. In fact, I was told yesterday by a liberal in no uncertain terms that the reason he was put on the ticket was to win the white suburban mom vote because he's cute. How's that for some condescension?
Okay. So
hey,
Mitt Romney,
if it works.
Well, that's right. we'll take it. But that's
speaking of looks, Sean, you have a nice picture of you with Senator Ryan, don't you? Or Congressman Ryan.
Oh, are you talking about the one with me and a whole bunch of people?
Yes.
Well, not just a whole bunch of people. Those are some powerhouse players there, Hackbarth.
That was me doing my humble brag thing.
Your humble brag.
Please. Okay, here's the story. Okay, it's for people who don't know about it. It's on my Facebook page. It's big. If you go to my Facebook page, you see it. It's a picture of me, Paul Ryan, Senator Ron Johnson, Reince Priebus, the RNC chairman, Congressman Sean Duffy, and Senator John Thune. We were all, it was last year, we were all watching a Green Bay Packers game.
Wow.
That is quite a collection of Republican superstars.
Who all love the Green Bay Packers. That's even more important than being Republican superstars.
They are America's team.
I'm just honored to say I know you.
Yeah, I mean, we got you on the show. Frankly, that puts you right up there with Michelle Malkin as far as guests. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? So Paul Ryan, yes, easy on the eyes, but really, you're a Beltway insider. Is it fair to call you that? I mean, you do live there.
I live there, yeah, sure. I don't know how much of an insider I am.
Okay,
but.
So, well, you're inside the parameters. That's what we're going to say here. So, really, the scuttlebutt around there was that you'd hear Pawlenty or Portman. I mean, did they really think that Romney... I mean, Romney can come across as a bit of a bland guy, but do we really want to put across a bland ticket by picking Portman or Pawlenty? I mean, I wouldn't have argued with Rob Portman being part of the ticket. I think that would have helped with Ohio, but a lot of the things that I'm seeing from Democrats is they say that, okay, the choice of Paul Ryan means that Republicans are giving up on Pennsylvania and Florida. But another person I saw, I thought actually hit the nail on the head when they said that actually the choice of, I mean, if you think you want to win a state by picking a VP candidate, you know, that's just so old politics. That isn't the way we do things anymore. I mean, would you say that's probably kind of an accurate assumption? Or do we...
My thing is, the way it looks like in some early reports I'm seeing, I think Mitt Romney just was very comfortable. He was really impressed by when talking to Ryan about various issues throughout the month. I guess it sounds like he was calling him often and talking to staff about budget issues and policy stuff for a while during the primaries and maybe even the last few months. And it sounds like they kind of hit it off and they just got along well. Mitt realized how intelligent and smart Ryan is. And I think he just felt really comfortable with him on the ticket. I mean, Mitt Romney seems like a guy based on what little I know about how he ran Bain Capital, as a business guy, is he just liked to surround himself with really smart people. And this sounds like Paul Ryan kind of fits that mold.
Now, I also heard, according to MSNBC and Barack Obama commercials, that Mitt Romney gives cancer. According, actually, when he was head of Bain Capital, he freely handed out cancer to employees' wives. Is that correct? Am I reading that right?
Well, that's sort of what, that was the sense I got from that Obama super PAC ad that the campaign doesn't have the guts to denounce. But hey, if Mitt Romney has that kind of power, I think the Obama campaign should be a little more scared.
Mitt
Romney has the ability to inflict sickness on people. How would he? How would he not win in November?
That's right. Vote for, that's literally vote or die. I mean, he could have made that. He could make that his campaign slogan. If Mitt Romney dispenses cancer at his whim, it's vote or die. All right. Wow. I'm surprised no one's come out with that. I mean, seriously, even come out with the parody. Where's Misfit Politics? They're slacking on this one.
Heads up.
That's right. That's right. So, okay. Now clarify a few things for us, Sean. One of the concerns that I had initially with Paul Ryan being the choice, being that I'm a veteran House staffer, that I'd be afraid of losing Paul Ryan in the House. That, you know, what? Well, I mean, I feel comfortable that Mitt Romney has chosen Paul Ryan because this means that, you know, he truly does give a damn about this election, that he's going to put his best foot forward and he is going to make this election about the economy and about the budget. But God forbid he loses in November. But if he did, that means that, does that mean we lose Paul Ryan, or can he pull a Lieberman and still serve?
Paul Ryan will be running both. He'll be running for vice president and also running for his House seat. From reports I've gotten, I'm not sure the legalese stuff, I think it's actually too late for him to remove his name from the ballot.
Oh, even better. Well, not that we really care, because we feel that he will be taking his perch over in the Naval Observatory, if that is correct. That's where the vice president lives, right? Naval Observatory, is that what? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's where we're hoping he ends up. So.
Indeed.
Well, and this really has been a banner couple of years for Wisconsin. First, you guys elect Scott Walker, then Reince Priebus is named chairman of the RNC. Then Scott Walker crushes the hopes and dreams of all Union Democrats in their attempt to recall him in the election earlier this year. And Paul Ryan is now Mitt's VP.
Don't forget Senator Ron Johnson knocking off the flaming liberal Russ Feingold 2 years ago.
That's right. And Tom, and you guys have a chance to... Have you guys had your primary yet?
Like, that's actually Tuesday. The Senate primary is Tuesday.
Okay. So the night this show airs, give us, well, first of all, we'll get to that. But is Wisconsin becoming sort of a bellwether for the country? I mean, we're seeing a lot of action there, and we're seeing a lot of Republican victories. I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but for a state that is typically purple, you know, purple to blue, it has some red territories. Are we seeing a possible change in the country's mood as well?
Yeah. Wisconsin's always going to be Wisconsin. It's sort of strange purple-blue sort of thing. I still think even with Paul Ryan on the ticket that it's still going to be close, and I still think it leans Obama, but... Wisconsin voters, for the most part, they just want people who are willing to get stuff done. I mean, I think at some point they realized, in the Feingold case, they realized he wasn't really doing anything anymore for these people. And so, and Ron Johnson comes in and he makes a strong case that he wants to go into Washington. He's sick of how things are working, and he wanted to shake things up and try to get some stuff done. That's what resonated.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Scott Walker, both times. He came in following a Democratic governor who just took the state and just was into a fiscal mess with billions of dollars in structural deficits. Scott Walker comes and says, "I'm going to fix it. This is what I'm going to do." He's going to come in and fix it. He laid out a lot of things that he was going to do. he ends up doing a whole bunch of things, standing up to a whole bunch of special interests, as we saw with the protests in Madison. He gets to the point that he drives the Democrats from the left so crazy that a bunch of them decide to run off to Illinois because they didn't want to do their jobs and actually stand up and vote and instead they wanted to shut things down. So then the next thing is he gets recalled and he stands up to them, and it all comes to back to the reforms that Scott Walker has implemented have been working. So your average voter, I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, or Independent, they're going to have some respect for Walker, the fact that things are getting better. And I think that's ultimately what Wisconsin voters like. I mean, throughout the history, they've done some very strange things, like vote for socialist mayors in Milwaukee. But, and I think a lot of these cases is about what these politicians have accomplished, and are they making things better? So that's kind of the case that Ryan and Romney are going to have to make in Wisconsin. They're probably making it right now. They've got this big rally going on in southeast Wisconsin right now.
Waukesha tonight, right?
Waukesha, not Waukesha.
Oh, sorry.
Waukesha. Yeah. I knew someone was going to mess up.
Bad Missourian. That's all right. Bad.
That's okay. At least you didn't, you know, call people from another state Indianans. All
that's
right.
True.
Yeah, gee, who would do something lame like that?
Lame. So, okay, so Sean, real quick, what is your prediction for the Wisconsin Senate primary on Tuesday?
That's really good, because it's Eric Hovde, who is a financial manager type, who made a bunch of money over the years, and so and he's been sort of inside and out Wisconsin. He came back years ago. He's sort of leading by a little bit, and I think in the latest poll over the former governor Tommy Thompson, who is pretty much the closest thing we have to a legend in Wisconsin politics.
I was going to say.
Then we have former Congressman Mark Newman, who he's run for various statewide races a few times. He almost beat Russ Feingold in the late 90s. He also ran a really hard, tough, and I would say nasty campaign against Scott Walker in 2010. I sort of have problems with Walker. Bottom line is, any of these three, I should say four, because there's the state assembly speaker is also running, but he's running a very underfunded campaign. And I'd say any of those four are going to be better than the Democrat, Tammy Baldwin, who is as far left as anything you're going to get out of Wisconsin. She's based in Madison. Everybody in Madison loves her. And as we saw during the Walker protest, people in Madison are crazy. So she's kind of out there. It's all really close. So the top three, Hovde, Thompson, and Newman, have unfortunately for the last month been beating the snot out of each other with campaign ads, just ripping each other, going after each other for out of context quotes each other have said and various other things. Turnout's going to be key. It's a really weird time to have a primary because there's going to be a lot of people on vacation. My instinct would be Tommy Thompson's going to win this by a hair, simply because he is Tommy. There's a lot of people that remember the good things he did for Wisconsin. I think they have a sense of he has the best chance to be Tammy Baldwin. My pick is Tommy Thompson by a hair, like a percentage point or two.
Okay. Well, since, again, you are from Wisconsin, you know Wisconsin politics, you also know, as you kind of alluded to earlier, Wisconsin sports. So tell us, as we are approaching the start of the NFL season, can Aaron Rodgers actually make it to the Super Bowl this year?
Yes, he can.
Can he avenge that loss to Eli and the Giants?
I think he can if he has a defense that can get enough pressure on the opposing quarterback and can tackle when needed. So I was watching the little first half of the preseason game on Thursday against the Chargers, and it was a little iffy. I mean, I think they still got to work on their tackling, and yeah, I'm still worried about the defense.
How's his O-line look?
Oh, his offensive line looks fine. He's got a new center, Jeff Saturday, who used to be with the Colts.
Woo, woo. Love me some Jeff Saturday. Love me some Jeff Saturday. I miss him.
Yeah, he's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's good. There's no question about that.
Very good.
I think they're a little worried about the left tackle on the preseason game. They had somebody never heard of before, and he got eaten alive by a Chargers player. So we'll see. But I'm a little worried about that. I'm not worried about the receivers. I'm worried about the running backs because now they're at the point that they just signed Cedric Benson. So if they're hiring ex-Bears.
Hey. It isn't just the ghost of Cedric Benson that you guys signed. He did have a couple of good years with the Bengals post time with the Bears, all right?
So, yes, he did. Yeah, that's the Cedric Benson I want to see.
But. Yeah, you want to see 2009 Cedric Benson, but that was still a few years ago. Watch out for the Colts. I mean, you have a former Colt, one of my all-time favorite Colts, in Jeff Saturday on the Packers, but the Colts played their preseason game this weekend, and they played the St. Louis Rams. Susie's feeling
played using the term played loosely.
It was a 38-3 drubbing. Andrew Luck, 2 touchdowns and 188 yards passing.
But more importantly, I was watching Andrew Luck's first pass was a touchdown.
Yes.
You know, now it's only a 5-yarder.
No. In the record books it goes down to 63.
Really?
Yeah, actually it does. Yeah, it does. And you know who
yards after catch does go to the quarterback. Yeah.
Yes. Do you also know who threw his first pass for a touchdown? Peyton Manning.
No.
Peyton Manning. What he did not do was throw his second pass was not for a touchdown, and I think that Andrew Luck's was. Not maybe his second pass, but he threw for 2 touchdowns in his first preseason game, which is something that Peyton Manning didn't even do in his.
Yeah, he looked good.
He looked great. I'm thrilled. Sorry, Susie, that you guys
know.
Had to.
I'm mourning the loss of the St. Louis Rams.
You guys, they talk about a shell of a team. Sean, final thing, and frankly to me, possibly the most important thing, the bond that you and I have is that of being Rush fans. And we're not
Rush the band, yes, not the Rush band. The man, who we both are fans of. Too.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. But I mean, we're fans of Rush the band, and they put out their latest album, Clockwork Angels, just a little bit ago. Have you had a chance to listen to it? And what are your thoughts?
Have I had a chance to listen to it? Really, you're asking that question.
No,
I probably listened to it at least, 15-20 times already from beginning to end, and that doesn't even include, like, I just want to listen to that song X, or song number 3, or song number 12, or whatever. Yeah. So, I think it was, initially, the idea of it was, like, okay, they're going back to the 70s prog rock type thing. I'm going, that wasn't my favorite Rush time, but I'm open to it and see what they can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
They find a way to. They do not sound like a band that members are reaching their 60s. They are powerful. They are explosive. They have the musicianship in there is tremendous. And even despite some of these songs, there's a couple of songs that run close to 7 minutes.
Yeah,
it moves. It's muscular. You don't realize before you know it, you're like, wow, the song's over already, and you want to play it again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really impressed with it. I think I'm still working through the. It's a conceptual album, so there's an underlying story, and I'm trying to figure out how it's gonna. How it all fits together. I think it's going to help when, in a couple weeks, the novel will be coming out. A science fiction writer who's a big fan of Neil Peart and friends with him, the drummer from Rush, decided to write a novel with based on the story that Neil put together.
Nice.
So that'll be interesting. And of course, let's see, less than a month from now, I will be seeing them in Washington, D.C., the first of 4 scheduled concerts I will be seeing in a Rush the Call.
Sean, this is why I'm so happy I know you. people like us are few and far between. And I'm talking about Rush fans. Just because, you know, most people, when they think of Rush, they think of Spirit of the Radio or Tom Sawyer, you know, stuff from the early, early 80s, and they don't understand the solid production that they have put out for their last few albums. I mean, Snakes and Arrows was incredible. Clockwork Angels, also very good. And I think I will be seeing them September 13th in Indianapolis, which is their fourth show on the tour. So I'm kind of excited about
that. That sounds about right. Let's see. Yeah, in a week span, let's see, I'll see him in D.C., like, I think it's September 9th. Then that following Saturday, I will be flying to Chicago to see them again, so.
Oh, and you couldn't come through Indianapolis? I could get you a ticket.
No, because it's the middle of the week. I'm kind of scheduling everything for weekend shows. So.
All right, fine, that's fine. All right. Well, Sean, you've provided us a wealth of information this segment. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Hey, Sean, where can they find you on the Twitters and the rest of the internets?
You can follow me on Twitter at my name, Sean Hackbarth. You can also read all of my awesome stuff that I write Monday through Friday about business policy, and all that other stuff at freeenterprise.com.
Freeenterprise.com at Sean Hackbarth on the Twitters. Sean, thanks for being on this week.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you are listening to Gillespie. We'll be right back after these messages here on FTRradio.com.
She came down to heal me. I watched her.
FTR Radio salutes some of the great Democrat presidents in the radio era. FTR Radio.
Hey, I'm Essie Cupp. You're listening to FTR Radio from the right radio online at FTRradio.com.
And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. With me is Susie Moore. Susie, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Our next guest tonight, this is hopefully our lead into our big interview next week, which we'll mention here at the end of the segment. But our next guest tonight is a former state rep from the state of Ohio. He is currently the state policy director for Americans for Prosperity in Ohio. We have on Seth Morgan. Seth, how you doing?
It's doing great. It's good to be with you, Susie Zash. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Well, we have quite a few friends across the country who are involved with Americans for Prosperity. And a friend of mine who is affiliated with Americans for Prosperity in Ohio, the Ohio chapter, mentioned that you guys are working on a campaign against Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown called, I'm going to pull this up real quick just so I get it right. It is called Has Brown Worked for You? I love it. I love it. And I said, I immediately got to get someone from AFP Ohio on to talk about this. So if you could just kind of give us an idea of what's going on in Ohio and what AFP is doing there.
Well, we really just thought that there's not been enough attention at the national or state level focused on Senator Sherrod Brown's voting record. And we believe, as I think most Ohioans will believe, that his record really does not represent the Midwestern values of Ohio voters. And this is somebody who has supported multiple bailout packages, has supported or not supported, I should say, the expansion of energy exploration, which in Ohio is a very big deal along the eastern borders of our state. We've got some incredible new gas and natural gas and oil finds that's going to help define our economy for years to come. And Sherrod Brown has been a consistent supporter of the EPA and, frankly, using the EPA in aggressive manners to tamp down on business owners across the Buckeye State. Of course, he's a big supporter of increasing the tax load on taxpayers, as well as the increase in debt. We've seen $7 trillion added to the debt load since he's been elected senator. And perhaps the most important thing is his somewhat famous support for the federal health care takeover of mm-hmm. President Obama's administration. This is a guy who called it, he said it was going to be the most important vote he ever cast before he voted for it, and then he, of course, proceeded to vote for it. And I'll tell you, in Ohio, Obamacare is not exactly exciting. It's not something that Ohioans like. 66% of them in 2011 voted to amend their own constitution to put in it a freedom of health care inside the constitution. This is a senator who, frankly, has just been in Washington, D.C. too long. He's out of touch. And AFP Ohio wants to expose that.
It definitely sounds like he's out of touch, especially when, you know, what I don't get is that we have a lot of Democratic senators out there, senators like Sherrod Brown, Congressman Joe Donnelly here in Indiana, who is running for Richard Lugar's old seat. He's running against Richard Murdoch. And later tonight, we'll be talking with Patrick Werner from AFP Missouri, who is running a campaign, an AFP campaign against Claire McCaskill. These Democrats, they don't understand how unpopular Obamacare is. And I know that Ohio is typically seen as a swing state, but when you are having your legislature and the people of Ohio are calling for an amendment against something like this, this just seems like, you know, a candidate should not be running on this issue and saying that this is the most important vote that you've ever cast.
They really shouldn't, and it just proves how in touch Senator Brown is with the liberal agenda of some of his friends in Washington, D.C., and how out of touch he is with Midwest value voters. I mean, I obviously, sitting in Ohio, Ohio continues to be the focus of the presidential campaign and the focus of the press. Ohio is a right-of-center state. I mean, what often would drive it to vote for those politicians who support what is known to be more of a liberal agenda is frankly, it's very affected by, you know, the politics of the economy. And you've got very different demographic groups throughout the state. I love traveling the state because it's like you visit five different countries if you hit all the different points. You've got the southeastern part of the state. It's very Appalachian, and their mindsets are very different than the Northwest, which is very heavily union, or even the Northeast, which is very ethnic, and how they kind of associate together. It's actually a beautiful, wonderful state with a great diversity of its people. But when you get down to it, most Ohioans care deeply about their families. They care deeply about values. They absolutely care about spending, and they don't want their freedoms taken away. And Sherrod Brown has really stood against those things that Ohioans have stood for. The reason that he has kind of slipped through, I believe, is because he's one of those Midwestern really nice guys. And it's been difficult, as you know it is, Josh and Susie. It's hard to sit in your state and keep track of the various numbers of hundreds of votes that these guys do. And AFP Ohio wants to bring a light to the Ohio voters of exactly what Senator Sherrod Brown's been doing while we've been working to pinch our pennies and get our budgets in order here as families.
Well, tell us a little bit about the program that you guys are running. Has Brown worked for you?
Well, as Brown worked for you, we launched, I guess it was two Thursdays ago now, and it's really going to be focused on a grassroots-oriented campaign, and that we have made a purchase of digital billboards across the state of Ohio. They are messaging around these very issues that we've talked about, energy prices, debt, taxes. We're about to roll in. I'm not quite ready to announce it, Susie and Josh. Maybe next week I can come back on if you want. But we're about to announce a program that would help the grassroots just directly engage. And I don't want to go into a lot of details, but directly engage on the types of messaging that we're going to be doing throughout the state of Ohio. We're going to have some fun with this campaign. We're going to involve our activists. We've got a series of vans that are traveling the state that are wrapped in the decals that are encouraging people to take a look at his record. As this initiative rolls on, I don't want to tip my hand too much, but I wouldn't be surprised to see some more traditional approaches, maybe mail, maybe radio. Matter of fact, we're about to announce a pretty strong radio buy in the northern part of the state. But all of this is designed to drive people to a website that has some information on it, has brownworkforyou.org. There's a petition on there that they can sign. And as this continues to ramp up, we want to see Ohioans start to engage in kind of a viral and non-viral conversation. This needs to be the coffee table conversation about, do the policies that Senator Brown supports really reflect the values of Ohioans? As we move through this season, I wouldn't be surprised, and again, I don't want to tip too much here, if we didn't see some pretty major folks come through as kind of part of this effort to expose Senator Sherrod Brown for what he is, which Susie and Josh, he's a senator that's been voted as the most liberal senator in the state of, or in the U.S. Senate. To give clarification, that was along with seven others. But when you're hanging out with the likes of Bernie Sanders, you're not representing the values of Ohioans.
We're talking with Seth Morgan, who is State Policy Director of AFP Ohio. Seth, when you're talking with Ohioans, as you say, across the state, how has your experience in the state legislature, how does that kind of prepared you to discuss these issues with Ohioans?
Well, we only have a few minutes, so I... it's a big subject. I think the biggest takeaway, I was in the state legislature for several years, and before that, we served at the city council level. So I've got that local and state government. I've never served in Congress, and that is okay by me. But I think that Ohioans, again, in particular, you've got all different stripes. You clearly have liberal and conservative. You have every different type of person you could have in Ohio. As I mentioned, it's a very diverse state. But I think they're at their core, they're real people. They're people that are looking for answers. And I don't think this is that different, Susie and Josh, than probably most Americans. They're frustrated by the constant barrage of rhetoric that they get. They are people that focus, at least specifically in my area, I live in the Dayton area, they don't wake up in the morning and flip on the news to try to figure out what just happened in politics. They wake up in the morning and flip on the news to figure out how best to get to work, how best to get home, how best to take care of their families. It's that quiet work ethic of a Midwestern value set that you see in Indiana. They want real answers, and they don't want to waste a lot of time, working through all of it. They want to get to the bottom of it, get to work, get their fingernails, dirt under their fingernails, if you will. And I don't necessarily mean that literally as much as I do proverbially. These are go get it done people. Mm-hmm. And so, there's not a lot of patience for just, batting around the foolishness, foolish ideas. They want real clear answers. And they, frankly, again, no one in Ohio campaigns on "I'm going to go raise taxes." I mean, those types of liberal ideas, those types of take it from you and give it to somebody else, the Pickering winners and losers, that stuff does not bode well in Ohio. Mm-hmm. But they tend to be very focused on just getting their work done, taking care of their families and getting their work done. And that's, I think, why Senator Sherrod Brown's voting record has been able to slip under the radar screen for some time now. Is, again, he's a nice guy. He's from Youngstown. He's been around a long time. He's got good name ID. And, he kind of comes off as one of those Ohioans. And he clearly is. He's clearly an Ohioan with roots in Ohio. But his philosophy of what government should or should not be doing for the Ohio people is totally out of line with what we're seeing in real Ohio. Mm-hmm. Whether it's rural Ohio, which is tremendously large. There's a tremendous amount of agriculture in the state of Ohio, but it's rural Ohio, or even those urban centers. This, again, when I go back to 2011, I talk about the vote to amend our Constitution to make healthcare freedom the constitutional law of the land. This won, Susan and Josh, in all 88 counties of Ohio. This includes Cuyahoga County, the famous Cuyahoga County, that always goes for the Democrats, that Karl Rove will be on, sometime coming this November to talk about how big the Republicans lost Cuyahoga County and how that's an indicator of what's to come in the rest of the state. Every county in the state of Ohio voted to repeal or voted to uphold, in this case, a health care freedom amendment. Ohioans care deeply about those issues, and Senator Brown is just proving again that he's out of touch with it.
Real quick, his challenger is the state treasurer, right? Is that Josh Mandel?
That's correct. He's being run against by treasurer and former state representative. I had the honor of serving with Josh in the state house. Josh Mandel, a two-time Marine overseas tour veteran, and Josh is a nice guy. Of course, American True Prosperity does not directly engage in these races. We don't involve ourselves in electioneering, but we are intent on pointing out the record of Senator Sherrod Brown and letting Ohioans pick as they choose.
Well, Seth, I really thank you for taking the time to be on the show tonight. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Patrick Werner of AFP Missouri. So we're going to stick with the AFP theme. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Patrick. But Seth, real quick, where can they find out more about AFP Ohio?
Well, they can go to AmericansForProsperity.org/Ohio, but I'd prefer them go to HasBrownWorkForYou.org. There's links there. They can connect with AFP Ohio. But sign that petition, send it on to your friends, post it on your Facebook, Twitter about it. Let's have some fun with this thing. HasBrownWorkForYou.org, and check out some of those liberal positions that Senator Brown has had, and then sign that petition. Join us in exposing his liberal record.
HasBrownWorkForYou.org. And we've been talking with Seth Morgan. We will be right back. Stick around.
FTR Radio is from the right radio. Online at FTRradio.com.
I beg the sun to shed me some light, but she would not come to shut out the night.
And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTR Radio. We just got done speaking with Seth Morgan, the Director of State Policy for AFP Ohio. We are now talking with the State Director, State Executive Director for AFP Missouri, Patrick Werner. Patrick, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, Josh, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Hey, you know, Susie, you're from Missouri.
I am.
So
I am.
Tell us, kind of, how do you, how have you seen AFP working out there? And Patrick, if you wouldn't mind, kind of give us a rundown of what's going on there.
Well, I know they have their big NOMO spending campaign going on now. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Patrick?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Americans for Prosperity, just a little bit about what we do. We have 35 state chapters across the country. Missouri is one of them. We have over 35,000 grassroots activists across Missouri, over 2 million activists around the country, and we primarily focus on the grassroots effort. We give activists and grassroots folks a voice, and we kind of focus on really three main topics. That's smaller government, less taxes, and policies that really promote economic freedom. And one of those things that we've sort of set as a priority here in Missouri a couple months ago now is NOMO spending. That's N-O-M-O spending.com. And really what that is it gives grassroots activists and Missourians an opportunity to sign a petition to tell Claire McCaskill we are sick and tired of the irresponsible spending coming out of Washington, D.C. So really that's the focus of our NOMO spending.com effort right now.
Fantastic. You know, I noticed immediately after the primary last week, the McCaskill campaign came out and said that they were very pleased with the outcome, that they felt that her challenger, Todd Akin, was the weakest of the three candidates, which I'm not sure I would agree with. And I kind of suspect maybe they would have said that about any of the three who won. But what will AFP's role be in terms of the upcoming election in November as far as getting the word out about McCaskill and her affinity for spending and such?
Yeah, you know, I got that same question on election night on News Channel 5 here in St. Louis, Missouri, and mm-hmm. my response was very simple. Be careful what you ask for. I mean, you're talking about Congressman Todd Akin, who is a family man who has a proven track record in Washington, D.C. and in Jefferson City of standing by his principles. He doesn't own a private plane. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He changes his own oil. And you know, I look forward to watching Congressman Akin get out there and really share, I guess, his vision, his values of how we would turn this country around. See, he believes, as do I, and I would assume you and a lot of your listeners, that we're headed in the wrong direction. You know, mm-hmm. we've got a $15 trillion plus debt. We have 40 straight months of unemployment over 8%, and we've got a national health care bill that is wildly unpopular here in Missouri. So I look forward to a spirited debate between the two. And our role specifically is, you know, we don't endorse candidates. What we try to do is we try to educate voters on the policy matters and the policy decisions that really make a difference and really promote economic freedom for everyone. So that's what we're going to do over the next 3 months.
We talked to Seth Morgan, like I said, from AFP Ohio, and they're running a campaign against Sherrod Brown. Seth was talking about how Obamacare is just incredibly unpopular in Ohio, yet Sherrod Brown said that that was the most important vote that he has ever cast. And in Indiana, AFP's running a How's That Cup of Joe against Joe Donnelly, who's a Democrat running against Richard Murdoch. He was one of the StuPac 12 and voted for Obamacare, and that's wildly unpopular here. In Missouri, as you said, Obamacare is wildly unpopular there, yet Claire McCaskill voted for it. Why are these Democratic members of Congress in such conservative states like that, why are they feeling compelled to vote for something like this, which just flies in the face of what their constituents are telling them?
That's right. And I remember the discussions. You know, I used to work for Congress when this went down. This was on Christmas Eve 2009 when the United States Senate took this up. And I remember Claire saying two things. One, she wouldn't vote for this bill if it cost more than $1 trillion. And I remember her also saying that if you like the health care plan that you have, you can keep it. Well, as we're finding out, that neither of those two things are really happening. We've got the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, whom she quoted, you know, when she voted for this bill, now says that the 10-year cost of this bill is $1.68 trillion. And now we saw a report that over 34% of doctors in Missouri are considering that they're not going to take Medicare patients, or they're going to consider dropping the private health insurance they provided. So when we see Claire McCaskill on the campaign trail, we remind folks that that's what she said 2 years ago, because she stands by that.
Tell us a little bit about how you all are planning on getting out the word to the constituents. I mean, what different methods are you going to be using to get out there and get the word out?
You know, that's an awesome question. You know, one of the things I'm most excited about here in Missouri, we have four what we just call mobile command center vans. These are four 15-foot vans that we had wrapped with our No Mo Spending message, with Americans for Prosperity, our phone number and an email address and all that fun stuff. And we have them stationed all over the state. So we have five field directors here in Missouri. So at any time, at any given day, one of our field directors can hop in their van, they can go into a parade, they can create their own event, they can roll up to another event that's taking place, they open up the back, they bring out tables and chairs and petitions. We have one of these little speakers and microphones if we're going to have speakers and events. It's fantastic. We literally can be anywhere at any given time and have our voices be heard. And I tell you, the field directors love it. I'm actually going across the state tomorrow over the next 2 days. And when we roll up to an event, we are seen and noticed by activists across Missouri.
Well, good. I look forward to seeing some of those events.
I'm excited that there is that much excitement with the people, with your field directors. I mean, and that's the one thing that I notice about people who work for AFP. They are excited and motivated about what they are doing. I'm seeing that all across the country. So I commend your work, Patrick.
Thank you.
Hey, real quick, as we're coming here to the close of the segment, tell us real quick where they can find out more about AFP Missouri and about the No Mo Spending initiative.
Yeah, you know, the main website is www.americansforprosperity.org, and then there you can pick a state chapter, or you can put /Missouri. But if you would just go to www.nomospending.com, there you'll see our latest commercial. You can sign the petition, and we try to keep up with our upcoming activities on that website as well. And you can certainly call me, email me from that website. All my information is there, and you know we're just delighted that so many folks have joined the cause to defend our liberties and freedoms across this state and across the country. And it's a privilege for me to be a part of this group and this organization. And I tell you, we're going to keep fighting to November. We're going to fight through November, and when January rolls around, we're going to hold these elected officials feet to the fire.
Fantastic,
absolutely, and thank you, Patrick. Everyone, let's help make sure that Sherrod Brown and Claire McCaskill are defeated in November. Help AFP and help your candidates, Josh Mandel in Ohio, Todd Akin in Missouri. Let's get the Senate back, everyone, and defeat Obamacare this year. Send Obama packing. Patrick,
that's right.
Patrick, thanks again for being on the show this week.
Josh, Susie, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And you are listening to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. We'll be right back after this.
Back row in my mind.
Hey there, FTR Radio fans. This is Josh Gillespie, host of Gillespie, airing every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. I want to tell you about the Shoutcast app. Download it to your favorite smartphone today. Then search for FTRradio.com. Never miss your favorite FTR show again. This is a must-have for any FTR listener. Download the Shoutcast app today.
This is Jedediah Bila, and I'm listening to FTR Radio from the Right Radio online at FTRradio.com.
Welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. I want to take this time to thank all of my guests this evening, Sean Hackbarth from FreeEnterprise.com, and Seth Morgan from AFP Ohio, and Patrick Warner from AFP Missouri. Mark Warner, since you happen to reappear, where can people find you on the internet?
MWarner95 on Twitter.
On the Twitters. Also at RealMWarner0003. Smoozy!
Damn it, Gillespie!
Smoozy, where can they find you?
Smoozy Q, SMOOSIEQ on Twitter, and qwithaview.wordpress.com is my blog.
And you can find me at Josh Gillespie on the Twitters and at joshgillespie.com, where you can find all of these podcasts. Coming up next is the Snark Factor with Fingers of Malloy and the Snark Factor players. You've been listening to Gillespie. For Mark Warner and Smoozy Q, I'm Josh Gillespie. Thanks and have a great evening.
Don't speak like you used to. Where do we go to now that I've come?
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?